Yeah, so we're recording. Just this is our microphone, essentially. We got this. Yeah. A little skull. Cheers, sir. Ray McIntyre. Welcome back to the Tap Good, sir. Welcome back to the Tap, everybody. Returning legend, Ray Mac. Goddamn it. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm great. Let me put my mic to my mouth.
About a fist away.
No, doing well. It's been a little while since I've been on the Tap. Hilariously enough, I worked the fireworks stand yesterday, and Kayleen Callison.
Oh yes,
mentioned the Tap.
Yes,
like, avid watcher. So.
Oh, I'm glad. Glad she's turned into a slider.
Yeah, you know,
a mom, our former classmate, and meeting her. I've met Jenny before, her older sister, because I did a podcast with her for like 3.5 hours.
Oh, nice.
Talking about, she had a crazy birthing story. Just had a fraudulent midwife, and she gave birth at home, raw dogged it, no drugs, no nothing.
Wow.
If you're giving birth, Ray, are you getting chemicaled up,
give me
or
the IED,
give it that, put me out,
put me asleep.
I'll meet the kid when I'm done with my nap.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to. That just sounds way too painful. But she almost died because the lady just dipped and
died.
Said, "Hey,
home wife,
take a Motrin and go to bed. You'll be fine." Meanwhile, she's like bleeding out.
Wow.
Luckily, get to the hospital and she survived childbirth.
I'm not one to shoot down modern medicine.
No, we got it. I would take it. I noticed a pretty good raspberry on the forearm, sir.
Yeah, it's
K-Paso.
Playing men's league.
Baseball?
I've never given up baseball. Well, no. I had to while I was coaching for a while.
Ah,
but
still, it's part of your blood. It's part of your DNA.
As soon as I got back, I think it was, I got back in 2020, I played 2021.
There you go.
So I'm playing with the River Dogs in Woodland now.
River Dogs,
Which is
featuring what kind of teammates you got? Give
shout
people
out,
who are a little
shout out Donnie Garcia, Big Don,
Big Don,
Manny, no longer with that team.
Really,
Big
Manny Garcia,
he's still playing on Sundays with their Sunday team. So, Kevin Rowell, John Cummings,
Growler,
Joe Mack.
Joe Mack's playing too?
He is.
This is a squad.
Yep.
This is a squad.
Some really good folks.
You guys winning games or what?
We're about 500 right now.
500?
Yeah.
So are you, where do you compare from the, like, how many teams are in the league? I should ask.
I think there's like seven.
Seven?
Seven or eight.
Yeah, all right. Maybe. Enough to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
Or competitive, rather. How do you guys rank, in your opinion, in that?
This year, I would put us at 3 or 4.
Really?
Like, yeah, playing really well. Teams doing really well. I think we had a couple cold games. We had one game we lost because of one bad inning, and that's typically how men's league goes.
Yeah. Right?
We're doing pretty good. So I'd put us at 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. 4 to be safe.
On your best day, I mean, but capable of beating the top dogs.
Sure.
Well, I mean, River Dogs are top dogs. I mean, come on.
Not gonna push it too hard, but yeah.
Well, what was the play? Did you make the play? Was it worthy of the rash?
Yeah, it was a worthy dive, but I did not make the play.
That's...
It was just out of reach.
Just out of reach, but not a missed throw or anything.
No. I've been playing pretty good defense.
That'd be.
Staying
with it.
Which, excited for slow pitch because of it.
Slow pitch softball, the reigning champions, the Marini Nuts. Is that the team that you're talking about, sir?
If you're not doing anything on Wednesday nights and winters, over the next
Field,
two
baby.
Months, yeah, July, August, I don't know, it's 8 weeks.
Something
so,
like that.
Maybe
it's just going to be straight domination of the league. I want it.
Hey.
I need it. I got to have it. I feel like a big man out there. But newcomer Sammy Gonzalez, cause for concern.
Certainly,
but
the guy is.
We got EMAC. I mean,
the guy's a freak athlete. He hit the hardest ball I caught last year.
That your hand still hurting?
It was stinging for the entire game.
Say there is someone rather unathletic, which is totally invited in this league. It's a very chill league, but we have stud athletes out there. And if you're maybe a couple beers deep, or just don't have the reaction time, say like a shortstop should have, your head's getting taken off.
Sure.
Like you've seen the Patriot, right? You've seen the Patriot with Mel Gibson.
Yes.
You know one of the first battles, him and Heath Ledger are looking out, and one guy like the cannonball just comes and takes out the guy's head.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna happen.
Hard to forget.
It was, dude. That was like one of the first rated R movies. I'm like, this is graphic. Guy's leg getting cut off.
Talk about jumping right in.
We're going hard. But slow pitch softball was way more fun than I gave it credit for.
I hope we play in the fall.
I would it starts in September.
Yeah,
why not?
Why wouldn't we just run it back? This is the fall. Dude, the fall league want to see us out there.
They want the smoke. And where there's smoke, there's nuts.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. This and is true.
The jerseys came out great. I took mine to Scottsdale for Brentley's bachelor party. Yeah. Wore it proud. Yeah. Nuts. The beige came out okay. It's similar to the Giants, like, kind of milky white.
It feels silvery to me.
Silvery. It does, yeah.
I'd have to see it in different color lighting, maybe.
I got the sandwich name on the back.
That's...
It's good. Big old nuts, like that classic baseball cursive. Yeah. Nuts across the chest. Hey, just letting people know.
It's hard not to notice the Jumpman almond
that
we have on there. Headband on, I believe.
It's elite. It's the fantastic. Team is elite.
It's fantastic.
Are we missing anybody this year?
Somebody said they couldn't play.
I don't have everybody's number on the group text.
Somebody did say they wouldn't be able to play this year. I don't know. I can't remember if it was Abby.
I think Jordan's gone.
Or Jordan. Jordan. It might have been Jordy. So,
I don't know. She's out there doing big things.
Yeah.
Who knows? But overall, I think we have enough pieces of the puzzle to complete the championship picture.
Well, look, man. I was talking about it with Eva. Yeah. And
China.
It's kind of absurd that in a winter's co-ed for Funzie League, we had 1, 2, 3... 4 Division I softball players.
Oh my god. So it's Emac, Haley, Ashlyn, and
Abby.
Abby. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah. She's a stud.
St. Mary's.
That's what's up.
St. Mary's, Wichita State, Arizona, and Long Beach.
Sucks. Abby lives a country mile away. Couldn't make as many games as she did.
Yeah, it's tough for her, I'm sure. But she has. Two kids now?
With kids and a drive, I'm just my focus after work. Let's get home. I got to stop at the grocery store? I'll allow that. That's fine. But I guess softball games are all right, too.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's time to go home. Time to feed the cats. Time to relax. Recharge the social battery. Man, how many times I've thrown the cats under the bus when it comes to, like, an excuse to leave? Like, hey, I'll drop that from time to time. Yeah, not on the same person, though. Like, you got to diversify the excuse to leave.
Has it been nice being a cat dad?
It has been. It has been. Kit was... I'm not gay no more. But both were a surprise. Because Kit, I got months after Sammy died, my black lab.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Sammy. Hey, to Sammy and to the menace himself, old dog.
Buddy.
Your buddy. To Sammy and Buddy. The old dogs. Dude, I keep moving my phone out. It's a conversation. Right. My hand's going to move, baby.
Yeah.
To them dogs.
Yes, sir.
And so I was crestfallen, heartbroken. Yeah. And I mean, I've lost pets before. This one stung extra hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll admire other people's pets, but I don't want that initial, that gut-wrenching feeling when you lose a pet.
Right.
It's the worst.
Yeah, no.
And Kit, at the time, my ex was like, hey, I got this cat out here. I'm like, nah, deny. Then for some reason I said yes. It's like, okay, Skylar gets to me. Skylar, brother Skylar, slider Skylar. Goddamn, he'll twist my arm. He's like, dude, you need some responsibility in your life.
That's awesome.
It just kept playing on repeat.
But let's be honest. How many days did that take?
I was denying the cat for a while, but she was still so tiny, still in kitten phase. Yeah. I'm like, all right, let's just see how it goes. Worst comes to worst, if I'm feeling that douchey, I can't handle a cat in my life. Give it to like pet shelter or find someone else to take care of her.
Yeah,
and just getting to know her and having her. Like, be around my feet and just having her kind of weave her way into my life, into the routine.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of cool just having someone to kick it with.
For sure.
You're not as lonely as you can be.
Yeah, no doubt.
But no, Kit's cool. Like, just seeing this personality, this little creature, it's fun. And I was really goddamn proud of her when she finally accepted Sunny, the little calico, into the life, because she was very anxious at first. Took plenty of videos on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I just enjoy the moment?
Yeah.
Need to record it. Bouncing around, very timid, and then eventually, now they're thick as thieves. They play fight. That's awesome. A good older sister. I'm just like very proud of these cats.
Yeah.
Very low key. She's pooping all over the place, making a mess of all the kitty litter and everything. It's like she's so tiny, and the poop to body size ratio is completely off. It makes
shouldn't
no
work.
Sense. No, there's no way work. She's able to like
physics. Just say
no.
You can't.
Physics. This is impossible. But here's to it, to Sunny the cats. And awesome. How's it like having these pair of, it's Winnie.
Hey, bro,
Winnie and Dixie.
Winnie and Dixie. These two. Yep. What kind of little pups are they?
This is Miss Dixie.
Hi, Miss Dixie. Say hi to the tap.
Oh. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, she's a cutie. They're so energetic.
Yeah, they are Australian Shepherd, Australian cattle dog.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, truly mutt. So we got their, I don't know what it is, 23andMe for dogs,
oh, yeah,
whatever
yeah.
they call it.
That's cool.
And it was her sister actually got it, one of the other four. Like, there was four in her litter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they shot it over, and it was like Chihuahua, like 5%, like 2% Lab, 2% Husky.
There was just a doggy gangbang or something, a breed bang.
Yeah,
so everybody's part of it.
Mash. So we have
a mutt mash.
Winnie and Dixie, and then my parents have Buster.
So. I love their pointy ears.
Yeah,
love that feature in a dog.
Pointy ears and the curled tail. We get a lot of. Is that a Shiba? And
a Shiba. Like, that's what it is.
Like that's what we thought for a while, but. They I don't think they're going to grow anymore. They're kind of stuck at like 25 pounds.
But they're not quite lap dogs, but it's not unacceptable for them to hop on your lap.
Sure.
They have that pass. When they're, say, Buster, he's a big golden retriever.
He is a big brown golden retriever.
He is toasty.
He's a large
human. He's a great color, like reddish almost.
Yeah, very red.
That's the type of dog, they're on your lap, you can't say no, but they're going to knock the wind out of you.
They're, yeah.
Like, Ragnar will pull that shit. My
dog's mom lap. Walks him, and walks him often, and it's incredible that she doesn't go over. Like,
he's pretty strong,
he's
though.
A strong dog.
Mm. Friendly, too, so it's extra, like, I got to run across the street to go help him. And lest we forget, I want to pay a homage to your mom's gift to your dad, a framed, hand-painted picture of hold on let's
it is
since it's worth a step up.
We might as well turn this into just a live stream.
Oh man,
I miss Winnie.
It's the recording's so good. So here's Buster.
I miss Winnie.
Here he is. What's up, Buster?
Yeah,
oh, he's
hi,
a good
Buster.
Dog. He knows the camera's on.
Yeah.
And so this was your mom's gift to your dad.
I believe that's what it was. If it was from Joe, sorry Joe.
Look at the detail. This is legit painting. Behold.
Yeah, I'm fucking that guy.
It's so classic too. This would be passed down through McIntyre from generation to generation.
Yeah, my parents are all.
No, that's legit.
We have action.
Someone home? Your parents home?
No.
Oh, where are they at?
They're in Reno for the weekend.
Reno.
Yeah, they're trying to go win some money in Reno.
Reno has cleaned up of late. It's not the cigarette butt that I knew it to be growing up.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, the Aces there. Went there for my cousin's bachelor party.
Yeah.
They have breweries. Shields is dope. But there's, like, different places to walk to, and the baseball field's really cool down there.
I like the Aces Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's other than if you're trying to go to a night game in February, like, chalk it up.
Oh, like frozen?
Freezing cold. Freezing cold, a lot of wind.
Well, you were a wolf packman. You're part of the wolf pack, sir. What was it like living in the Reno area? Just
I loved it.
Was it a good social life?
What
was some shit you did?
Favorite parts, I guess, what I would say is, like, I did really enjoy the weather. Like, it was cold, different than here.
Weren't shoveling snow? I mean, you're in, like, dorms. So you don't have to worry about
dorms
that.
First year, house after that, or well, apartment and then house.
Mm-hmm.
There was only a couple times where you're like, okay, this is pretty bad.
Just irritating. It's universally hated snow. I talked to locals in Tahoe, because I've contemplated living in the snow. I'm like, you get used to it? Does it get okay? They're like, no, absolutely not.
Not with how much you get in Tahoe.
No, that's wild.
Yeah, the snow in Reno typically, it doesn't stick in town very, very long.
Mm-hmm. It's respectful.
But the occasional, like, hey, you're snowed in for the week, like the Saturday morning. Like,
really?
It's gonna take a while. Like, it does happen. For sure.
That's nuts. You just kind of have to develop your patience.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's in it. Like nobody gets to complain because everyone's.
My technique when things go wrong or less than ideal, I just start whining, bitching, and moaning, and.
Yeah.
You know, like the idea is a theory that whatever the problem is will fix itself and be done sooner. Like traffic. Just if you continue complaining, screaming, I don't know, getting gray hairs, going wild, just keep complaining and everything will change.
What would you say is your success rate with that?
Ofer.
Ofer?
Ofer.
Keep trying.
I mean, it's trial and error, right?
Yeah,
it's gotta, maybe I haven't complained enough. But it's just, for some reason, I keep going back to it. How would you say your patience level is given the goddamn world we live in these days.
It's, and maybe it's an age like graph, and that just, you know, I actually started with quite a bit of patience because I worked with kids a lot. Mm-hmm. So I, like, you just learn, you know,
for sure.
But my patience with other adults has gone down.
Oh, it's like, shouldn't you have grown up or dealt?
You're 34 years old. Like, you know,
some people just, there's terrible phenomenon that I've come to realize. Maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm the only one experiencing this. That the high school hierarchy for some individuals has been so ingrained in them.
Wow.
And that's, it's still, no matter where they go to in life, whether it's work or with other parents at youth sports or what have you, small town stuff, that there's still such a high school immaturity and a social pecking order. Or it's like there's a cool kids club still. It seems so bizarre that grown adults are still kind of adhering by that social construct, I guess. Like, our high school, I feel like, was okay. I don't feel like there's segregated groups or people getting... I mean, I didn't get picked on. I didn't see a ton of bullying going on. There's some high school antics, yeah, but nothing wild.
I mean, I'm sure it happened. But, like, yeah, in terms of like, the mass, luckily at Winters, it was... seemed minimal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Facebook aids in that culture, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, the community tips page.
Yeah.
People are just complaining. Oh, there's like a general crankiness of a high school student.
And so you're seeing more and more of it, like the more you're on Facebook. Mm. And so that just gets around. But I don't know. I just think that when somebody, you know, like working hard for me, it was always kind of like expected, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like it was expected to get good grades. It was expected to take care of your stuff off the field. Otherwise, you weren't on the field.
Like, is that from your folks or just the coaches you had in life?
My parents. That was my parents.
They have like a set of rules. Like if you have below a B average or something like that.
No, there was no line, but like that was almost worse at times, you know, cause it was like, she come at you, your mom come at you. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, and then you go, okay, like, you know, you're not playing this next weekend.
Have you ever gotten an F in a class?
I don't know.
You always had solid grades from what I recall. Like, were you 4.0?
No.
You were calculus, I recall, weren't you?
I was a 4.0. I got a 4.0 adjusted in my senior year because of, at least one of the semesters, because of the AP classes.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
You were passing any of those?
Yeah.
Which one?
I passed calculus.
Calculus? Ah, well
it,
done, sir.
It was amazing.
You get a 3, 4, 3. Or 5, 3?
Yeah,
That's a pass.
Three.
That's a win.
It was. I got a 3 in a class that I got my lowest grade of the year in.
Really?
Yeah, I was like...
What, you just game time player? Or was there also, I remember there was an essay in almost every single one. Was there an essay to be written?
No essay, but there was a long section of multiple choice, which I think aided me. And then there was open, like, you had to draw out your answers.
Were you surprised? Or were you like, oh, I got this?
I was surprised knowing my grade in the class.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out I passed, I was pretty hyped.
Let's go. Because that's a college credit, right?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I rolled into college. I didn't have anybody to tell me like which classes I needed. So I kind of just first year took basic whatever. Nobody cared. And I led in with Calc 2. And I spent, I think, 3 weeks in Calc 2 and said I'm out.
Was it that much more of a difference from, say, high school to college sports? Was it... This is calculus is Q, but now we're getting into some real math.
I think it's the equivalent of like if you went through in with our Spanish, right, at our high school. If you went through Spanish 1.5, right, that gives you like the base layer.
Yeah.
Say you got into like the second end of Spanish 2 and like into Spanish 3, but your base layer was like chalked.
Really?
That's how it felt.
It's like you're just hanging on to it, but
you're clenching at straws. Fuck. But you don't have the full understanding.
Right,
you know?
Right. It's like you have to branch off the foundation. And how would you? I don't really know what calculus is. How would you describe it? Is it? It just seems like there's not a set of rules. It's just it's the Wild West. Here's a situation and the equation that comes with it. Algorithms. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Here's what's more amazing.
I need to get a beer before you explain it so I can. Grab some thinking juice. Oh, hey, there's two in here. There's more than two in here.
The think about it like this, like
China.
I didn't get enough of an understanding to even explain it to you right now. and especially when something that I dropped out of initially.
Like, I appreciate you being very real and honest. Well, yeah, by the way,
like
y'all always been a real one.
If you failed Spanish in, you know, if you failed Spanish your first year of college and you dropped out, would you know like cling to much Spanish? Like probably
no. It's
but you had 4 years, 3 years,
four
and four in high school, right?
So. I cost myself an A in that class because that son of a bitch Robbie Emery and I were just goofing and giggling the entire time speaking English, and she caught us. It was just for disciplinary purposes. I dropped an entire letter grade in Ms. G's class.
Oh no!
I loved her though. It was worth it though. Robbie and I had so much fun in that class.
She's an amazing teacher.
She is.
There's a reason she does the things she does, right? Like,
she does. She came back, but she was joking around. She told me something because I went to go speak at a class and just saw her in the hallway in the new facilities at the school. Good Lord.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's a different school. We didn't go to school there.
No.
That's not my WHS, damn it.
Yeah, but, other than Mr. Novello and Miss Mann still being there. Miss G's still there too, right?
Oh, she came back.
She did.
And she's like, Soto. That was my apodo in Espanol class. And she's like, if I ever want to come out of retirement again, hit me in the head with a shovel.
She doesn't, something. Yeah.
Oh, she's...
She got bored, probably. Yeah.
Cranky. Yeah. But she is a phenomenal teacher, and for winners to have her, like, that's... She's only going to have more kids be giddy and talk about their teachers.
No doubt.
Like, in a positive way.
Yeah. Like, those are... Yeah. I mean, those three teachers that I had named, Miss Mann, Mr. Novello, and... Miss G are like three of my favorite all-time
people. I regret never taking Novello's culinary class. I feel like I missed out on some foundational things. Even Whitworth's class.
I loved Mr. Whitworth as well.
Yeah, Donnie. Yeah.
I had him for woodworking two, and ag mechanics.
The teachers at Winters High School, I feel, I didn't really get the connection with college professors. There were some cool ones that I had, but I felt like these guys had my back.
Yeah.
Anyways, I didn't really have there's teachers I was kind of indifferent of, or there's Algebra 2 that was miserable. I forget that lady's name when she had like frizzy curly hair.
Yeah,
like a skinny white lady. But it's like I didn't hate her. Yeah. She just wasn't a great teacher, but I liked the staff. People love Miss McCreary. Like Darren's talking about her, like our favorite teachers. And she might have been a hard ass, but she was real. She was kind of disciplinary. For a bunch of kids who think, oh, I'm untouchable, and she's, I mean, what I think lacking these days, perhaps, in school. Just my opinion, not trying to impose it, but it's like kids have, they think they can get away with anything. There's not as much respect or discipline, or at least that's what the news is telling me to believe.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, I think, like, it's easy to look at all of our teachers and anybody at that school at the time, and I'm not there now, so I don't know, but like even the staff, right? Like,
well, you, sir, assistant coach for varsity baseball, coming off second consecutive section championship. Let's go Warriors. You guys can get that dub though.
Yeah.
You're we'll get there. Scratching at the bit, chomping at the bit, but you see it as a coach and the you're involved with these kids, their antics. There's really solid ones on the team, and then there's other ones on the team. Won't name any names, but it's just like, oh, why can't your attitude be more like this kid? You know, but hey, there's at the end of the day, it's still teenagers. But
yes.
I don't know. Do you see the kind of attitudes and the kind of the kids of the age?
I do, but I think looking back at my time coaching in college, we also like you had that too. It's just a different stage in life. Like, I don't think until I hit 28, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was still evolving as like
20s. You're still an emotional kid, though.
Human.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so like totally understandable. Some handle it better than others.
For sure.
You know, that's
for sure.
And the ones that are going to be the most successful are the ones that are able to separate those things of I feel wronged on the field, right? Like, sure, there's guys that are going to talk trash to you when you're playing against them. But if you take it personally, that's when they win.
China.
You
know,
absolutely. Like, and that's the point of it. They're trying to get under your skin, get in your head.
Sure. And make you play worse than. And they don't attack the bad players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't trash talk the worst kid. I actually,
There was one point this year which our guys were trash talking
a bad
player on the other team.
Was the other player talking that ish though? You can't be a bad player and talk shit.
It was on a team that was. So.
Oh wow.
So that's, you know, you got to draw a line somewhere.
Absolutely, right? You're good.
But yeah, everyone has their own deal, and emotionally, even coaches, you see them react to stuff.
Man.
Right, like.
It's got to be tough to keep yourself in check and be the bigger person.
Like, yeah.
I was telling Skylar today, because I don't do this, but it's not just being the bigger man between the other guy, but being bigger than the situation or right. The circumstances.
Sure.
Feel like, hey, this guy's got his issues. There's no point that guy's bullshit that you need to take personally. But that's right. A hard ask.
It's hard.
That's very hard ask.
It's hard because then you got to actually walk your words, right? Like if you're
Ray, I want to talk them, but not do anything. I know, anything
but
to
if you
them.
Ever want respect from these kids again, like you got to walk your words.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
I think the disciplinary mandates and the actions that you and Austin took this year, spot on.
I appreciate it.
Yes, taking away good players, but kind of you're also in charge of them becoming good young men.
Yeah,
and yeah. I think like a little discipline. Yes, it sucks, it hurts, but that's the point.
Sure.
So, and you guys, I don't know. That's some old school discipline that I got a cap. I might as well tip it to you.
You have insider because we've communicated with you. I talk with you.
I'm like the semi press here, and I'm not the one who's expressed.
I talk to you all the time, off record, right? But
off the record,
Fully on record, like. I went into this year, and we went into last year. I think it was more of a feel-out year for myself because it was the first year I hadn't coached high school,
mm-hmm.
And just getting to learn the players. But like the second year, I was looking back at the first year, thinking like our biggest weakness was emotional control on the field,
mm-hmm.
and work ethic was number two.
Yes.
So those are the two things we felt like we wanted to improve the most on. So,
they coincide for sure. Like,
right.
You know,
how you practice is how you play. Like,
that's why I respect Ingles for always hitting lasers at us, even during practice pregame. Like, I was more nervous for the pregame info outfield than the game itself.
As it should be.
Did you see yourself, how did you improve what you, like those two issues? What did you and Austin do?
We just fully committed to if we see it on the field of you like you hang your head or you know you give up on a play, like those are like reasons to pull you out,
mm-hmm.
and he's credit Austin, like he was committed to that, like he sat his own nephew in certain situations, and
body language speaks volumes.
Sure it does.
It's contagious.
It screams
yes,
and the minute you let the other team, especially whether you're on the mound or in the box, but on the mound most importantly because everyone's watching one guy go, mm-hmm. right, is if you show them that you're struggling or mentally struggling,
they feed off of it.
Yeah,
I love seeing that in high school. I remember JV's, a kid in right field, that rinky dinky ass field of JV's ours. Like a kid was like punching the ground because he missed a play, like hitting himself in the head. We're like, I was like, don't beat yourself up.
This is over. Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. He's just imploding. Like when you know you're in their soul, their psyche. I mean, it's like, you might feel it for him, but you got to pounce on that shit.
Yeah.
Got a game to win.
Absolutely. So those were the ones we were harping on this year. And it was just like, you either stay committed to just improving,
mm-hmm.
and trying to go one for one on the day. Like we just want to improve every time we're at practice, and we want to try and go one for one on the day, no matter who we're playing.
Easier said than done to stick to it, having that as the philosophy. But I think that's, you know, you hear about players on sports talk shows or whatever talk about a coach's philosophy and whatnot. Like, I guess I've never really thought twice about what sports philosophy. Like, what the hell are you talking about? But this is a prime example. Perform your best. If your attitude's bad, pull it. Like, that's. I guess the sports philosophy. Does it jive kind of – I feel like it jives exactly with who you are as a player, like sticking to that standard as well. Does your sports philosophy kind of differ from that at all?
No, I'm very on that.
Yeah.
Like I had told somebody else, and Manny thinks very similarly.
Manny Garcia. Cheers to Manny Garcia, I think. As influential to Winter's baseball at any level. Solid human being, but like the impact of Jeff Ingles in terms of baseball culture in Winter's, at Winter's High School.
Yeah.
Manny Garcia is the truth, I think, at to be a coach and someone who raises young men.
Yes,
like, I saw him as a third grandpa.
Yeah, same to me.
Yeah.
Same to me. You get, I mean, just a really awesome guy that, like, just cares about you as a person. You know, like, he understands that not every guy's going to be a college player. Or,
yes.
We've had one big leaguer, I think, in the history of Winters High. So it's like, the odds are against you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if we can raise them to be good fathers, because 95% of them are going to be dads, you know, like, at some point. Like, I'm not going to let you get away with showing up late and not texting us and letting us know.
Mm-hmm.
That's inexcusable. You're going to get fired from your job.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Sure.
So, like, those little things. And I'm actually putting it all into a book this year, which is surprising. I don't know if I've talked to you about it.
Please, we're on the tap here. Give us the spiel. Give me the elevator pitch.
So it's not really a book. It's more of a manual that I wanted to write up for our players. Because
that's right, you did.
In high school, right? Like, you get guys that have come off basketball season, depending on the year, and have three practices and game one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the seasons are so close together.
Yeah.
And I want our guys that are coming off basketball to be, like, as prepared as possible. So I'm putting together a manual that is kind of outlining our entire philosophy from how you should act as a leader and a player at Winters High,
mm-hmm.
how the look goes, like what you look like and how you wear a uniform, to playing the position, offensive approach, positioning, like the A to Z of Winters Warriors baseball, or like what we think.
Ooh, call it the Manny.
Yes,
manual.
The manual.
Call it the Manny.
The manual, exactly.
Tip of the cap to Manny Garcia, so, again, baby. Yeah, love that
legend. and shout out to Coach Crisp, who
TC.
Got me.
Oh, so how did that go? You reached out.
Yeah, thank you.
You talked about it, man. If there's anybody that knows, I don't think there's anybody that knows Winters history, Winters sports history better than that man. Yeah. He is Winters history.
Yeah.
And so what was it like chatting with him and kind of getting, like, what did he give you? How was that experience getting kind of like the vibe, the juice from him in terms of putting it in your manual?
He's the best. So what I'm taking from it is going to be, I like, so at Winters, we have a red shed that when you open the door to the shed, a lot of the newspaper articles are down now. But when we were there, it had to have been 50 or 60 newspaper articles of like winning games, section championship, like da-da-da. Like, and so like part of me, every time I opened that shed, wanted to be, like,
you want
to
be on
that wall, you know? And so what I want to take from his outstanding research would be the records from every year from the last, like, 50 years, probably,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. just keep it more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it next to, like, how many section championships, how many league championships, and then some records just in there. So, like, front of the manual is just, like, here you go. Like, do you want to be a part of this? Like, this is
the legacy
you strive for. Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think that was like something that Fullerton does. Like, they had a wall with their how many times they made it to a regional.
Is that what inspired you to make this manual?
Fullerton? No, not necessarily. But it was actually coming off the end of last year. We had a parent that had spoken with us and said that she thought we were lacking in the development area. And that's,
she come across in a non-malicious way, or
yes, she did. She communicated this well.
All right, that's constructive criticism, I guess. I can respect that.
Yeah. So and so, like, in your, we'll say, 2-hour practice a day for 5 days a week, where when you get into season, it's really 2 days a week or 3 days a week. So mm-hmm. you play twice a week. How do you teach them everything? Right? Like, that's the hard part, is you can chip away at it throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But the only guys that are going to get the full development will be the guys that are there from like November on, where we really do are able to hit everything mm-hmm. and work with you more in specific. So how do we do that with the basketball and soccer guys? Well, I think this is it, right? Like, for us, when we give it out, I want to make it mandatory. If you want to be on the team, like, you have to hit the how to act, how to look, how to be a Warrior baseball player sections, mm-hmm. which are just like the front three pages.
Yeah.
If you want to play on the team, like, you got to understand it, like the rest of it. And so it's looking like quite a few pages. I'm at
it's going to be 30,000 words probably.
Holy shit.
Fully typed out.
Well, yeah. And this is, so I'm 12, have you made a first draft already?
12,000 of the 30,000 right now.
Of your estimated 30,000.
Yeah. So I have, I bullet pointed it all out, and it's really just going by section would be like starting with the look and then like 15 bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I did that all the way out and it was like 150 bullet points, like A to Z. And so I'm about halfway.
You're just going through it.
Third of the way, maybe.
What's your writing process like? What time of day do you do it? Do you listen to music? When Ray feels like writing, what'd he do?
When I get home, usually I'll get home from work about 2:30 or 3 o'clock. And
how's your mental energy at that point?
Not bad if I get it, because I'll eat a little early. I have lunch at like 10:30, like pretty early.
I feel that.
And then so I'll get something to snack on when I get home.
Get you a little something.
And then it's like,
what are you snacking on?
Ooh, pizza! A big pizza roll guy.
Big pizza roll guy.
If I need a quick snack, I think it's pizza rolls.
Warm, a toaster oven or.
No, I go just microwave.
Microwave.
Yeah, I personally think they're better in the oven.
Yeah. Oh, a little crisp. A little nice little crunch. But hey, you got writing to do.
We got stuff to do.
So you scar some bagel bites. Pizza bagels. My bad. You got your office I saw in there, nice and clean.
Yep. So that's my parents though.
Yeah.
This is my parents' house.
Well, no, it is. It is. Yeah. I forget. I've always been like, oh, it's right. They're both your house. Damn it.
Yeah. No, we were here for a little while after COVID too, when I came back.
But if you were to write here, it's nice and clean.
It would be a nice place.
Back at the Casa.
Yeah.
You guys got your office space in there.
Yeah, it is a fully set up office.
So how do you just sit there and write, put on any music?
I like the music. I like, so if you look up like Lo-Fi Rain on YouTube, they always have their like, it's a Japanese Lo-Fi Rain or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that kind of vibe. And, or just, just kind of quiet too, especially after having a day of work anyway. So just kind of quiet's fine.
Yeah.
I just kind of set like, look, I need to do 5 bullet points before I get up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can just type out 5 bullet points, like fill out the info on those 5.
You get, yourself like an hour to get it done, or how much time are you giving yourself?
No, I just rough draft, first run. Like I'm just saying, hey, look, get through these 5 and like we can go do whatever else.
Play so you get it out and like, then edit later.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to finish it out.
Dude, I wish I could do that.
For me, it's more important to like get it done and just get it on paper so that our guys have it.
Yeah.
And then like as errors come up, as we're running through edit 2 for next year or whatever,
second edition. Just keep re-releasing.
Because your coaching philosophy changes, like some things you're going to tweak. And I want to add like graphics are a key thing that I want
to
add.
Is this something you see yourself doing every year, like refreshing the manual, printing it out and giving it to the guys?
Yeah, I want our guys to have...
I like that. I like that a lot.
Like, if you join the football team, like, you should have a playbook, right? Like,
Yeah.
So, like, however you print that out and you give it to your players, like, there's a lot more guys on the football team, but, like...
Is this only going to be for incoming freshmen, or is it something the whole team should read every single year just to refresh it and remind them what a warrior is?
Sure. So, what I think I want to do is give those first sections of, like, the history... the look and like how to behave and be a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Like I want to give those to every guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like every freshman that comes in should know that, like, and just build from there. It's not as important that you know how to line up a cut. Like I don't think it's as important.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're one of those guys that's like hitting me up, Johnny G.
Mm-hmm.
He is Blanca. She owns KK's son.
Oh.
Gonzalez, I think is his last name. Johnny. I just call him Johnny G. Works out with us a lot now. First time ever playing baseball was his freshman year.
Yeah, yes. How do you do?
It looked when he first showed up in November like he'd never played before.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy has been coming out and like working his tail off. And he's going to be, he's going to junior this year, so he'll be up on varsity. And like, he's going to earn a spot, like for sure.
Let's go. Where does he play?
Outfield. He wants to work a little more infield now.
You got some speed on him?
He is pretty quick. He's pretty quick. So
how's he swinging the bat?
Not bad.
Yeah.
The dude is not bad.
Not bad at all.
It's like you put enough time in, like you're going to get good at it. And he's put work in, So like.
Here's a question for the manual, the Manny. Winners, whereas I think we were as good of baseball players as we were greenskeepers. the field. Yeah. I mean, nobody's as great as Manny Garcia, the GOAT. Nobody takes care of baseball fields like that man.
He does an awesome job.
But for all of us, I mean, is there going to be any portion of the Manny dedicated to field maintenance after the game, dragging, sweeping, or just making sure the field is well kept?
Yeah, so there's a bullet point on, we call them like post-practice, post-game jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just explain what our method is. And our method typically has been like kind of a free-for-all. Here's all the jobs you need.
Mm-mm.
I want to kind of narrow that down a little bit more and make it a little more specific, probably likely by position.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the hard part is nobody wants to get stuck with drag, you know.
Because it is a drag.
It is a drag.
It's a drag, Ray.
It's a drag. Oh. It's a drag, but like, I don't know. The guys don't like putting the cage away, but like, they don't see me putting it, pulling it out and putting it away by myself.
It's hard by yourself. That's a lot of net to tug in.
Yeah, exactly. Ones. So, hey, big shout out to our AD, Daniel Ward. He said, let's get a quote for potential looking at getting batting cages. He said, that's the starting point. So, I would love to knock down the red pull-out barn and make it
that's the shed, though.
Yeah, listen. Whoa. Listen, hear
whoa,
me
whoa,
out.
Whoa, hold on. You struck out. A chord, big dog. You struck out. A chord. All right.
I want to – so there's trees lining the fences, like, along that street, and there's trees that are along the fence line for the field.
Indeed.
You're either going to have to knock one of those down, I'm assuming the ones towards the field, or – build in between them, which is going to be tougher.
Mm-hmm.
I think we knock those down towards the field. You knock the red shed down in the lines, and you build in roughly like a 80 foot, because it's like a weird shape, mm-hmm. 80 foot down to the pitching mound, all the way down to where the red is now and over, and make it this massive covered barn.
Mm-hmm.
Lighted.
Because
it is two or three cages.
Like the fence line, it kind of widens out. It's not like a perfect square or anything like that.
It is kind of angled out.
But if you took out that tree, the pitching mound, and like the backstop there, and the red shed, I'm not sure why, but I have just such an affection for nostalgia. But if that was gone, I feel like that space would really open up.
It would look
really open up.
Really nice.
Mm.
And you'd have the shade coming off the cover. You'd have to make a decision on how you want to do it. Like, do you build in the back? I think you build in ramps so that you have in covered pitching mounds too. Mm-hmm. You would either fence it off or not.
Just a solid practice facility.
Yeah, you just need it covered in lights. Is like,
honestly,
you got to hit in the rain.
You can expand a lot more. Because the fence that separates the crowd from the field doesn't be as far. I mean, there's some room there to like go outward a little bit.
Yeah,
it'd be like right on the foul line though.
Yeah, the reason they keep that is because it's a fire lane.
Mm.
You have to have that. Yeah, because it's the access for football and the fire lane. So
damn this regulation.
You have to have it. But
there's room.
Have
there's
you
room.
Been over there? Have you passed by lately?
Today I didn't look over. Is there anything new? I mean, you got the nets up and everything.
So you only have the net on the right field line, or the right field foul side above our dugout.
There's not one. There's a big fence on the left side, though.
No, not anymore, sir.
Really?
Nope.
So the plug thickens.
Gone. Yes.
Gone. What? When?
Gone.
What the hell?
Listen, no backstop either, brother. Backstop's gone. So
how have I not seen this? Yeah. I am so goddamn oblivious.
It is. It is literally home plate with the dirt circle, the other dugout. Some poles and the backstop.
Porquet, like, what's going on? Dude, I wanted a piece of that wood. That backstop's been there forever.
I'll do you one better off camera. Remind me.
Oh, I will remind you, sir. I need some of that wood.
Yeah, I got one for you. But So
what's going on? What's going on?
So that really nice netting they put along the right side. That was always supposed to be an entire backstop. So they are rebuilding the backstop. Shout out to Coach Ward for getting this through, mm-hmm. by the way. Rebuilding the backstop. I believe their initial plan was to pull that seating forward. So it is elevated, but it's actually like up close.
All that concrete?
Yeah. So either that or they're taking the backstop deep.
Maybe backstop deeper, but
whatever they do, I'm about it. Because
the grandstand's dope. I've always loved that the seating arrangement and winners. Nice little curling around the backstop.
I do, but I think you want something a little more permanent. And maybe a little bit more intimate, like closer to it.
A little bit, yeah. There is that gap, though. It's always part of the baseball game experience in a small town, like all the little kids running around causing a ruckus.
Yeah.
I mean, the seating at the Little League Park. I've always loved the Winter's Little League Park. I do too. It's elite.
They've done a great job with it.
A desert underneath the stands. There's gum everywhere, but just sunflower seeds. I need the bottom of a baseball field grandstands to be at least a 1-inch thick blanket of sunflower seeds.
Oh.
All discarded, just spit. It needs to be filthy with sunflower seeds.
That's how you know. Yeah,
it's real.
Have you ever been to the Giants single A affiliate in San Jose?
Nay, sir.
San Jose Giants?
How was that?
Filled.
Really?
Sunflower seeds.
Grimy.
Yeah, it is as minor league ballpark as it gets.
I miss Thunderbird Stadium in Vacaville. Shout out to Curtis Stocking.
Steelheads.
Susie Stocking. Yep. The Steelheads as well.
Oh,
that was such a great baseball
Stocking's family did a lot of that, right?
Yep. And I would go in the next day with Mama Gertz. Shout out to Debbie.
Yep.
And we'd clean the stadium. Mopping, nice. Sweeping, vacuuming out the suites. Because there's suites in there.
I loved it.
Oh.
They did such a good job with that.
I was the Thunderbird one time.
Were you?
I was in the costume.
What did you do?
I felt silly. Did like a race. I'd kind of spun around a little bit. I would wave at the crowd. Not a lot of room for athletic movements. You're just kind of there for just rile up the crowd a little bit.
High fives.
I don't. It was just
shake some hands.
High school time. Shake some hands. Just the big old head. Big head.
Was it hot?
Thunderbird. A little bit. You just gotta soldier on. Soldier through. Thunderbird ain't gonna bitch and complain. So that was a cool.
Sure.
I don't know that whole experience there. Had fireworks almost every night.
They did such a great job. I sad to see them go. I understand why.
What's one of your favorite baseball stadiums you've either played at? Or give me where you've played at and been to for a game.
Okay, I'll give you. Coached at.
Ooh.
Outside of Omaha, like that place is just different.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State. They have.
How'd it get you?
They have this setup. They call it the left field lounge, but it really wraps around the whole stadium. It used to be kind of like this wooden shelving kind of behind the thing where when they open the gates, or maybe they set it up before the weekend,
mm-hmm.
all these people bring in their grills. And it's like,
how very southern of
it is a hick fest out there. But it's a party, right? So they got multiple levels with fucking like tents and barbecues and like to the point of grill smoke floating over the outfield. Like it's amazing.
It's thick.
It's amazing.
How'd it smell?
Also amazing.
Did you get to eat any of it as an opposing team?
So they weren't as hospitable the first 2 days, but after you beat them, they were. After day three, so.
Okay. How'd you guys do against them?
We won game three.
There you go. Hey, a little stick in the eye, like, you know, you lose the series, but keep a little respect.
No. We won the series.
Won the series.
Yeah, that's what sent us to Omaha. That was a super regional.
Oh, that's – what is it like being in that intense moment? Is it similar to high school, or is it just amplified because on your bigger stage? The fans
bigger.
At Mississippi, how – was there a big crowd?
Yeah, there were a lot of people.
How many would you say?
18,000. Like, it was a lot.
Did that affect your coaching at all, or just because your adrenaline's got to be rushing?
No,
and then
me,
you got to sit there with your arms crossed with your glasses on.
No, for us. So I was director of ops, so I didn't have much coaching like involvement in the game at all. So it was like at Arizona, I was more ops and stuff behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was stressing, and I knew I didn't have a whole lot of hand in it.
But you have skin in the game though. You're getting these players ready. You're playing your part.
Sure.
It's
China.
The only thing I can have to kind of empathize with that is freshman year playing Gamblers.
Yeah.
Gambler baseball, Michael Gleason.
The best.
I hardly got playing time at all. You're a different story. Fucking freshman on varsity stud. But just having that experience, because I've never like ridden the bench before. But just being around that level of baseball, the players, and that atmosphere, I feel like had a positive impact on me as a player developmentally. Do you feel like your experience in this like high stress situation has served you as a coach now for high school baseball?
Yeah, I mean,
and just your approach.
I mean, things off field too, where you go through life and you're like, man, that was heavy, right? Like,
yeah,
those things also shape it. But like being in like a heavy or a high stress situation, in Omaha or whatever,
winning game three,
yeah, like, man, like being a part of that, like, it's definitely stressful. But then you get to look at these games when it's, you know, a Tuesday against Live Oak,
mm-hmm.
and guys are stressing out. You're like, look, big guy.
It's okay. They're stressing though. It means they care.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. But for me, it's because I've lived out those experiences. Now I look back and it's like, man, that was small at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm coaching it and I'm like, I'm not going to get that mad at an umpire who's probably being paid very minimal. I mean, $40 probably to be out here sweating in the heat, coaching a
one lap dance, baby.
400 person high schools duke it out on a Tuesday. Like, I'm not gonna yell at this guy, but, you know. So it's definitely been good to like put things into perspective.
Yeah, you know.
And my time with Arizona was just incredible, and Coach Johnson, like. Just and all a lot of other coaches gave me a lot of opportunities to like be a part of some great things.
You probably have a wild, probably most definitely have a wild social net of who you can reach out to. Your contact list has got to be pretty elite.
Yeah, no, I mean
D1 baby.
There's
D1.
Yeah, there's between that and like working the camps with a lot of these guys, like in the summers. That's kind of when you connect more, but. Yeah, I definitely have learned a lot and been able to connect with a lot of coaches.
Are they cut from a different cloth, like from how they got to where they're at? What's that it factor? That's a big decision. You're potentially paid millions of dollars to be a D1 coach.
Yeah. Jay Johnson, who's at LSU now, that man's different. That is built different. Like,
how so?
Like, if you've ever dedicated time to like one craft, like, and I'm sure you put a lot of time into writing. Mm-hmm. Like, it will say for you. Like, take out everything else that you ever cared about and putting it into writing. Like, that's this guy with baseball.
Does he have a wife and kids or anything?
He has a wife, no kids yet. I don't believe.
Oh, man. But young, like, young guy?
Not too much older than me. I want to say he's, like, 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. 8 to 10 years older.
You still got that. Like
42 range.
You have that young mentality. Even at 40, whatever, like, it's still, there's people, I don't know, their energy's young. It's that of youth.
Yeah, this man's a grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, he puts the time in, and his wife's super understanding. She worked in compliance at Reno.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she understands athletes.
And, she gets
like, the coaches and stuff. Yeah, like, this guy puts so much time in, like, and cares so much about baseball and just improvement, like.
I wonder what his fuel is, like just straight passion. That works, but there's some days it's just not potent enough to get you up off the couch.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean,
is that what inspires you to write the manual?
I just want to write it because I want our players to be as good as they can be, mm-hmm. and I think like part of developing your coaching and like whatever, you're always trying to get some little edge that might help one kid that gets a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Half the kids might not read it. Who knows?
How would you like give them a test or something to enforce it? Hey, honor system?
Yeah, well, when the real life situation comes up and we go, why weren't you lined up for three there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I didn't know is not an excuse in this situation.
Right, right.
You know, like, that's the accountability will come in practice when we, like, I could give you a 70,000 page book and it wouldn't help you hit the ball better, like, unless you're actually out there performing it and trying it and practicing.
Exactly.
But, like, I want them to have no excuse to not have the base baseball IQ, I think.
Because you'll teach them all this at, like, various practices. You'll get, like, the verbal and the experiential at practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to have read it. I mean, reading's not for every kid.
No.
I mean, but that's something you guys, as coaches, do you feel like you got a personal understanding of how kids are different and in terms of how they learn or like take whatever you're trying to teach them on the field?
Yeah, that's step two to this, when this is like kind of more dialed in over the course of the time, and I've already started kind of piecing it together, is I want clips of certain things, like a good push bunt or a good job of driving a runner in with the infield in. Like examples so that they can see it happening too. A cut from left field and how the big league lines it up and relays it in. Like,
not everybody can read. Some people are just auditory learners. Other people, myself included, are like way more visual.
Yeah.
And like, if you can show me how to do it in front of me, like I can emulate it fairly good.
Mm-hmm.
But like reading it for me isn't great. But at the same time, if I have a reference to, hey, I need you to go home and read up on squeeze bunting, because you clearly just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Go read this up. It might at least trigger something or get you more in line with what we're thinking.
It'll resonate in some regard.
Right.
Just make it more familiar, but just repetition for sure.
Yeah.
How has the writing process been? How enjoyable is it?
I like it.
Do you ever get lost in kind of what you're doing? Like, oh shit, it's been an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
like
there's it depends on the day, right?
Like, yeah, oh, absolutely.
Some days I get there, I'm like, it might be three today. Three bullets. Like, let me get through three.
Or a sentence.
Yes.
Sometimes that's the best I got.
I have to get something out.
You know? Oh, yeah.
That's why I don't kind of like, I don't think the time limit for me would work as well, because I'm like, I'm either just trying to ride to that time limit or
then you'll just be stressing.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be enjoyable.
If you're flowing, like sometimes you just want to write, you know, keep going. So I don't want to cut that off either. So
I get nervous every morning if like I'm like, all right, time to write, but I'm like never really prepared. And as soon as I get down and kind of, I always write in the morning, and so I'm just kind of slack jawed zombie look at the computer screen. But then writing a little bit, I'm like, all right, let's go. Once I like switch into writing mode, I'm good. But do you get nervous at all, or are there days that you just don't feel it and skip it, or how consistent are you?
I've hashed out the numbers based on bullets. So like if I kept it 5 days a week or 4 days a week, and I do five bullets a day, I'll get through the whole list by I think the middle of next month.
Mm-hmm.
Have
you always been that organized? That's pretty good foresight and kind of blueprinting.
Well, I
struggle just, that. I'm kind of a seat in my pants kind of
this guy, which the sucks. Size of this project, I think, has forced me to do that, because if I take the final, you know, the old school finals approach where it's like 2 days till it's due, better get growing, you know.
But this is your discipline. This is you keeping yourself accountable.
Sure. Definitely. Do I miss days? For sure. Like, but I also know that I'm going to have days where I want to write 12. You know, like I can chip.
Yeah.
I can just smash through a bunch too. So.
But the evening time is kind of the better time for you to write.
Yeah,
or do you switch it up at all?
Afternoon. Yeah. I just try and keep it around the afternoon.
It's happened a handful of times, although I want it to happen more if I, you know, was really serious, but an evening writing session, say on like a Friday night or something like that, and I have a glass of whiskey next to me.
Oh, yeah.
It gets sparked rid of, yeah, but do you smoke at all to, not trying to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. But there'd be times where, say, I'd smoke before and it just kind of knocks down my inhibitions or my self-judgment, and just, it's just easier to get in that flow state.
Yeah.
Or sipping some whiskey, whatever it might be. It just helps me like, ooh, like I'm feeling loose. Let's go.
I like putting Dragon Ball on in the background.
Yeah.
Or like some kind of like cartoony, like weird show.
Mm.
Because then I go, okay, look, when I get to the next commercial, like I'm just going to smash out a bullet or close to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to get through a good chunk of this paragraph. Because then it gives me like instant gratification.
Absolutely.
Like, I earned that, you know? Like, I earned this 6 minutes of cartoon, you know? Like,
you have been Dragon Balls deep.
Dragon Balls deep.
And DBZ, Super, and everything. It's just been total. This is such a non sequitur, but just.
Yeah.
I love it. Because you watched it when you were younger, yeah?
Yeah, I watched. I grew up on Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the first.
The Toonami.
Yeah. And I didn't watch a whole lot of Dragon Ball. I watched more than some GT.
Another beer, sir.
Dude.
Oh.
If you're going to tie my hands.
I've got nothing but tie my hands.
How many is the restroom? We'll wait.
We'll keep riding, though. We'll come back to it.
Sounds good. Should I pause my phone, or?
What do you think?
Yeah, let's pause it just to get results, because I could piddle, too. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of part one of this epic tap podcast with Ray, Bleep, and McIntyre, baby. We're going to get back into it for another hour. Just be patient while I edit it. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
You lose! Good day, sir!